Hey guys, welcome to episode 262, where we will talk to Luke Laird, who has written over 20 number ones, but he put out his first music album, and so I was able to talk with him for a little bit, which is pretty cool. We do play our trivia game, Music Trivia Against the Music Man. Ooh, I like that.
Ooh.
Maybe for next time.
Okay.
With Adam Hambrick, who is the music man, the artist, playing against the listener. So that happens. We'll talk reactions from the ACMs, which a bit of controversy there. So, yeah. Hang out. We got a pretty good one. I did see this morning, because we do cut this part of the show on Friday. Like, we try to cut this as close as possible because we like to have... excuse me, all of the new music songs ready to go. So that being said, they just put in the news that TikTok was being taken off the App Store.
I just saw it. I didn't get a chance to read it.
Yeah, from Apple, Google, any App Store, you can no longer, I believe as of next week.
Dang.
I'll look at the news again, but it is happening where they're taking it down. And everybody who has it can still be on it, but to limit growth is... basically killing it.
That's going
to
be like where they start selling phones on eBay
with
like
TikTok on it. Yeah. I think eventually it will work itself out because Oracle is buying TikTok, at least the American version of it. So when you pull up that story, let me know. It was all over my feed this morning. I clicked into it.
Yeah, removed from all app stores on Sunday.
On Sunday, huh?
Yeah.
It'll be back. I do feel it's just too big to disappear, but I'm telling you, all those TikTok kids, their butts are puckered hard today. Yeah. The kids that are making money off of it.
Yeah.
Because that's their livelihood. That's their career. It would be like if they just said, okay, well, we're banning all microphones. I'd be like, what? Well, now what am I supposed to do? As trivial as it is, what am I supposed to do now? So if you see anything else that's interesting, let me know. Let's go with the new music top five this week. So every week I find... five songs that I'm super interested in. Sometimes I've heard them. Sometimes I haven't. But there's always a little bit of interest. At number five, Bon Jovi has a new song out with Jennifer Nettles. And he had this version of the song out with just him already. Mm-hmm. But added Jennifer Nettles. It's called Do What You Can. You know what their last song was called?
Who Says You Can't Go Home?
Who Says You Can't? And he had that song. Bon Jovi had that song by themselves before they added Jennifer Nettles last time, too, and then it ended up being a country number one. So, we'll see if that song grows on me. It's not my favorite immediately, but I'm interested in it. I'm interested to see what happens. We had Bon Jovi on the radio show today. He's super nice. Super rich, super famous, super nice. Let's see. Tyler Childers dropped a surprise album called Long Violent History. The first eight songs are just fiddle instrumentals. And the final track is an original new song written by Tyler that speaks to, you know, moments that we find ourselves in. Here's a clip of Long Violent History.
30-06s.
Number three, The Speed of Now Part One. It's an entire album by Keith Urban. This is his 10th album. It includes his duet with Pink, which they played on the ACMs, called One Too Many. You know, what was interesting about that performance at the ACMs is that I would have believed they were together because they shot on two locations because of Corona, and she wasn't leaving LA and he wasn't leaving Nashville. But they did such a good job at building a fake stage.
Yeah.
Did you see it?
I did see it. I wondered how they did that because it sounded great.
All digital.
Yeah.
It was super cool. And that was one of the only performances that I saw live because I was at the show, which was when you're walking backstage, I may have mentioned this later with Lauren, it was like a space movie. Because everybody wasn't just in masks. They were like in masks with face shields and covers. And it was like, welcome to your room. Take a left here. Number two, I'm putting Luke Laird because he has an album called Music Row. We will hear from him later. He's written songs for Eric Church, Casey Musgraves, Carrie Underwood, Little Big Town, Brad Paisley. Big songs, too. But here's a new song that we'll talk about later from Luke Laird called That's Why I Don't Drink Anymore.
I was on my way to hell, only thinking about myself. That's why I don't drink anymore.
It kind of feels like if the Postal Service...
Yeah, I think that's why I like it.
...did slightly more country. That would feel what... I was trying to place this. And not the Postal Service that they're trying to knock out of business right now, but 10 years ago, yeah. There was a band called the Postal Service.
Yeah.
And they played real light, melodic. People would say get stoned two songs. I never got stoned, so. And then number one, Luke Combs has a new song out called Without You featuring Amanda Shires.
When I'm up here on this stage, the spotlight's on my face, but I say, and it's me strumming this Gibson. It's me they love
again. There you go. Those are the five releases that I'm most intrigued by. More new songs. There's one. Justin Bieber has a new song out called Holy. Not Holy, Holy. Because that song was originally written for Justin Bieber that FGL did. But this is a song called Holy featuring Chance the Rapper. Here's a clip.
Feels so holy, holy, holy.
That's pretty cool.
I like it.
I like hip-hop or R&B stuff with just piano, and I like a little tambourine over there on the side. Like, I like that. I like to feel those kind of songs. Sasha Sloan has a new song out, and I wouldn't know much about Sasha Sloan, except for Caitlin's a big fan and has been for a long time.
I like her, too.
You do?
Mm-hmm.
So she has a new song out called Is It Just Me, which was co-written by Nicole Galyon. All right, here you go.
Is it just me? Or does anybody feel the way that I feel? They're just not being real. Tell me, is it just me? Or does anybody thinking all the same shit? They're just not saying it. Or is it just me?
All right, other songs out today. Sam Smith has a new song out called Diamonds. Rita Wilson has a new song out called What I Would Say, which she reached out and was like, hey, I'd like to talk a little bit.
Okay.
We could talk to Rita Wilson, huh?
That sounds good.
So I've met her a couple times. Always been extremely nice. The first time I met her, I was like, oh, cool, Rita Wilson. Second time I met her, I was like, where's Tom Hanks? Because I never met Tom Hanks. That's fair of me to think, right?
Does she live here?
No.
Okay.
I think they're back and forth a lot because she likes to sing and do country music.
Mm-hmm.
She doesn't need to. They're fine. I was looking at their bank statement. They're doing okay.
All right.
Yeah. Prince's estate released a previously unheard of song called I Need a Man. Back in the day, he offered it to Bonnie Raitt. So you can check that out if you want. Album's out today. Alicia Keys has Alicia. It's her seventh album. A live album by John Oates from Hall & Oates called Live in Nashville. Alanis has Such Pretty Forks in the Road. And Semisonic, who you may know from Closing Time. Time to close the closes and let's close it up. They have an EP called You're Not Alone. Mike Shinoda from Linkin Park put out Dropped Frames Volume 3. Neil Young, Ava Max with a record. Ace Frehley from Kiss. Joan Osborne. And then finally, Ziggy Marley. So those are all the releases this week. Go find you some new music. I struggle with finding music, though, that I'm just attached to. And so, and I also have less patience for just going through and listening to a bunch of stuff I don't like. So I've just started going back to 90s country and 90s pop, not pop, 90s acoustic stuff.
Is there any album that's like stuck out to you this year that you like?
I don't even
to?
Know what's happening this year.
Really?
I mean, what has come out?
Like the Taylor album?
No.
No?
Mm-mm.
I guess not then.
Is that the only album you know that's come out this year?
That's the one that I've probably like gone back and listened to.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I haven't. Not that it's, I don't think it's not good. I just haven't spent enough time with it. Okay. In music news, let's start with, does every song from The Weeknd use the same four notes? Someone on Twitter tried to prove that every song by The Weeknd has the same four notes by playing portions of the songs on an electric piano. Twitter users are still debating it. The songs he played are Tell Your Friends, Often, Reminder, Starboy, and Heartless. Here's a clip. we might as well cut it off because this is all the same thing. If it sounds like they're just playing one song, that's all the songs.
Yeah.
To be fair, I only know like 9 chords on guitar. So, you know, when we're writing stuff, I kind of stay within my little zone too. Kanye West says he won't release music until he's freed from contracts. Claims his masters are worth more than Taylor Swift's. You may have seen Kanye on Twitter peeing into a toilet on his Grammy.
Yeah. He's been going off this week.
He goes off, though, so regularly that it becomes less and less news, though.
But this one's been, like, constantly all week.
Yeah. He says that they won't tell him how much his masters cost because he knows he can afford them. Well, the thing is, if he were to pay what they were worth, they would be okay with that. Anybody will sell anything for what they feel like the fair price is. So, listen, what do we know about this? I don't know anything about it. I don't know anything except for the surface.
Mm-hmm.
What do you know about it?
I mean, I've just been seeing what he's been tweeting. I got fascinated when he like tweeted all his contracts. I was kind of going through those to see like how much they pay him. That's pretty crazy to see.
What did you see?
There was like one contract that he signed in like 2005, and it just kind of breaks down like where money goes, like how much he gets paid and how much they are paying and all these like hidden costs that he's saying they charge him for, like distribution fees. I thought that was interesting.
The former Oakland home of Green Day's Billy Joe Armstrong gets a price cut to $6.5 million. An Oakland mansion previously owned by Billy Joe is now selling for $6.498. It was listed for $7.25. Significant drop. Mm-hmm. You'd think if it was a 7.2, you take it to 7 or 6.7. Went all the way down to 6.4. It's 7,000 square feet, 5 bedrooms, 6 bathrooms. It was built on the site of the 1911 Julia Morgan-designed Redgate Mansion, which burned in the 1991 Oakland fire. And then it goes through all that's in the house, and I don't want to get jealous. So he has a net worth of $55 million. Carrie Underwood apologizes for forgetting to thank family for ACM win. She was so overcome with excitement, she forgot to thank some very important people in her life, her family. She said, first, I want to say that I'm a dummy for not mentioning my husband or my children in my acceptance speech. She said that in the ACM virtual press room. You would think that after this many years of seeing other people do speeches, and, you know, she goes on. But here's the thing that's interesting to me. She knew she was winning the award.
Oh, yeah, you're right.
So it's not like when you're sitting in the crowd and you're like, oh, my God, I won. They told her probably 2 days beforehand.
But did she know it was going to be split?
But I don't think that matters in the speech.
You still know? You don't think it's a shock of it you forget?
I think you still, if you prepared it, you have it written down. I don't know that she had anything written down, but yeah, that's pretty funny. But if you're going to forget someone, your family's probably the best because they will forgive you the quickest.
Yeah.
Because it's understood. Taylor Swift's stalker is sentenced to 30 months. A judge sentenced one of her stalkers to 30 months in federal prison. Eric Swarbrick pleaded guilty to interstate stalking and sending interstate communications with the intent to threaten. His obsession heightened over the years. His note writing became more frequent and frightening. Among the 40 letters Eric mailed, he threatened to rape and murder Taylor. The FBI kept a close eye on Swarbrick after Taylor got a restraining order. 3 times, he drove 900 miles from Austin, Texas to Nashville and delivered letters to Big Machine Records CEO. Eric threatened suicide if not introduced to Taylor. That sucks for him, sucks for her, because obviously he's got something not right happening. Do you see that Jerry from Cheer was busted this morning? They arrested him?
Yeah, yesterday.
Was it yesterday?
Yeah.
I guess I saw it this morning.
Yeah.
When I woke up. But he was for child pornography is what they had listed. But he was on Snapchat with, allegedly, with one of the stories was like a 13-year-old. Jeez, man.
Yeah.
I saw Monica's Instagram post where she was like, hey, just give me a little space on this.
Yeah.
And here she is doing a big career thing, getting on Dancing with the Stars, probably Loving Life, and then get, oh, golly.
You think they pull that show?
I don't know. My gut was to say no. I don't know.
It's a tough one.
Because they're in the middle of this debate with Cuties, too, where folks are arguing over whether or not that is acceptable to put on. Have you heard anything about that?
No, I just started thinking about that when I saw it yesterday.
Maybe if he's guilty?
Yeah.
Or maybe they just want to pull it, but maybe if
or
he's guilty?
Quietly take it down.
That won't be quietly taken down. It's such a good series.
It is. I mean, that's been the highlight of like the start of the year.
Eddie Money's former guitarist is suing his estate for $1.5 million in unpaid royalties. Is Eddie Money still alive?
No.
Okay. All right. Firefest settles with Blink 182, Major Lazer, and more. Wow. Firefest is still doing stuff?
He's still getting money back.
But Firefest is having to pay those guys money, right?
I think they're having to pay it back because they got paid up front.
Oh, so they went and tried to get the money back from
their
bands?
They're paying it back in like installments.
Hmm. Okay. Well, there's your music news. There's your releases. I hope you guys have a good week of new music and enjoy the rest of the show. Anything else we should say before we go?
Let's rock it.
All right. On now, Lauren Jo Black from countrynow.com. Lauren, how are you?
I'm great, Bobby. How are you?
Pretty good. You know, we are still talking about the ACM Awards. This airs Friday, so it'll be a couple days after. But the fact that we're still talking about it means something because usually these things come and go and people like their awards. But this year, there's a little more to talk about. And I'm curious to know how you felt about the Entertainer of the Year Award.
Well, I think that it was definitely a shock. You know, at first I was like, has this ever happened before? And of course started Googling and realized, no, it's never happened before. So that was a big plot twist, I think. And I was really hoping for Carrie to pull it off. You know, of course the cycle of the whole award show was thrown off since it was postponed, from April. So I think like the timing of everything was a little strange, but, yeah, I mean, I was really rooting and expecting for her to win, and it was a shock that there was a tie and that the tie was Thomas. And, you know, I think that all of the nominees in that category were deserving. But just to be honest with you, I really was surprised that Thomas was the one she tied with, because I thought for sure it was going to be Luke Combs just after the year that he had had. And I even remember you and I speaking in like January, and we were making predictions for the year. And that was one of the things I talked about, like Luke Combs and Entertainer of the Year. So I'm kind of surprised that it wasn't him.
Yeah, the big tie was Thomas Rhett and Carrie Underwood at the end of the show. And again, all five of them, you can have a fight for it. I would have thought if you said, hey, put money on a couple, it was Carrie or Luke Combs. As much as it's weird to not say Eric Church, because again, they're all deserving. Based on what I know about the voters, the history of the voting patterns, and at what time of the year it was. Because again, this was supposed to air in April, but if I'm correct, voting closed in early March. So they're voting on the past 9 months to a year before that. So it's almost like a whole different cycle from what we know now.
Right.
Well, good for Thomas Rhett. Love him. He's a great artist. I kind of feel bad that he's suffering some of the brunt of this today. You know, last year when Garth won the CMA, which is a different show because there are two shows, Garth took it on the chin, which is why he's not in it this year, because he's like, hey, I won and I'm good. But it's got to be weird to win and then have people upset at you. Well, I say that, but when I won Dancing with the Stars, people were pissed at me.
You didn't ask to, I mean, you know, they gave it to you. You didn't ask. And just like Thomas, like, I see people saying, like, why does Carrie, you know, of course, from the feminism, you know, side of things, like, she shouldn't have to share her award with someone, and you know, she should have it on her own and things like that. But I mean, it's no fault of Thomas's. Like, this is the way that it panned out. It's not his fault,
and it's no fault of any person making a decision. This is a legit vote that a firm tabulates, holds, and then releases back to the CMA. So those people thinking, well, why couldn't they let, well, nobody let anyone, it's people voting. So all right, good to know your opinion there. Female Artist of the Year, Maren Morris. Thoughts?
I honestly was shocked. And then I was like thinking about, okay, let's think about Girl and the success that she's had on the charts. And then it made more sense as I thought about it. I guess we're just so programmed, you know, to think like that that's a Carrie Miranda award only. And so it is pretty cool to see the tides kind of changing and, you know, new people winning, because pretty much since like 2006 when Carrie came off of Idol, it was either Carrie or Miranda. So I think it is pretty cool, but I will say I was shocked at the initial announcement.
I was surprised. I thought it would be Miranda winning female and Carrie winning entertainer. And
that's what I thought.
And they'd both have one. And but yeah, good for Mara. I mean, listen, in the Bones, I'm not even sure when that song came out and if it played a factor in the voting of this, but has been as big as Girl, you know? So she deserves it. I was surprised, though, that the voters gave... But the ACMs of the two award shows are a bit more progressive, and they do move a little quicker on anointing people award winners than do the CMAs. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I was talking to someone earlier, and I was saying, yeah, like, the ACMs are out of L.A., and, you know, kind of a little bit removed from the whole Nashville circle, so I definitely agree with that.
All right, Male Artist of the Year, Luke Combs. Now, I'm going to assume that you feel like that's justified because you thought he should have been Entertainer of the Year, and I was in that camp a little bit too. But Male Artist of the Year, talk about Luke Combs.
I mean, Luke Combs, let's think like, what, 6 years ago, I mean, no one knew his name. I mean, he just won New Artist recently, like within recent years.
Like
you know?
2 years ago, yeah.
And here he is winning Male Artist. And I mean, the charts, records that he's breaking constantly, like 9 consecutive number ones. It's just, it's incredible. And I really don't think it's been done before, you know, just in this way and this fast. So I think it was deserved. I was not surprised at all. And, you know, that was just kind of a given to me that that's what it was going to be.
He also won Album of the Year. Did you feel like that was a given?
I was shocked, honestly, because I have to look back. I didn't look in the database for this, but I was going to see, like, I think, if not all, almost all of Miranda's albums have been Album of the Year at the ACM. And so I was thinking it would go, they would go with Wildcard, honestly. I just feel like she has that track record there. So I was a little surprised with that one.
I think, too, and as much as everyone loves Miranda, people don't want to see people win all the time. I think that's why Luke Bryan isn't even nominated for Entertainer of the Year at the other awards show, the CMAs, because he was just dominating it for so long. And people go, all right, he's had his little run. But yeah, listen, Luke Combs, he deserves everything he gets. He's done things that I haven't seen, and I've been in town 8 years. You've been in town longer than that. So God's Country from Blake Shelton went Single of the Year. You've been pretty much shocked with every other category. How about this one?
No, I thought that was either going to win single or song. I wasn't sure which one it would take home. And I think that song was so important for him just in the sense that he literally said that he was thinking his career was essentially over until he found that song. So I think it was kind of cool that he won because it was such like a turning point for him. So that wasn't that much of a surprise for me.
Duo of the Year, I saw you tweet out before you were predicting Dan and Shay would win. They did win. Is that a given to you?
Oh, yeah, that was, I mean, I think so. I think, I mean, Florida Georgia Line, like, they had their little, you know, their run, and like you said, like, people want to see different people win awards, and I think they're such good dudes, and not that the guys...
All that helps, though. You're right.
You know, but yeah. it's just all, like, plays into it, and so, like, I feel like that wasn't a surprise at all, either.
Well, you know, kind of a disadvantage I had about making predictions closer to the show was that I knew some of the winners because they had to tell them beforehand so they would get up to the Opry and so they could be ready backstage. Did you know that part?
Well, I figured, but yeah. I wasn't 100% sure because I was like, oh, they just happened to be there, you know?
Like 2 days before, they were calling them and telling them, they would tell the manager, like, hey, this is the deal. Circumstance that probably won't happen again, but... Listen, I'm just glad the show went off. I was there. I saw how the precautions they were taking. I was happy it happened.
Okay, I'm curious. Like, did you feel like it was refreshing just to like get a sense of these performances that didn't happen on a couch? Like, because that's what, for me, it made it feel a little bit more normal where there was performances with like a band and production.
Yeah.
And I think that was like a nice highlight of 2020 since we haven't really gotten a chance to watch that as much this year.
Yeah, that was good. Again, it wasn't all the way good because almost every performance was recorded and it wasn't live because they just couldn't move that many people in and out because of COVID precautions. So I think I was a little jaded by that. But yes, it was cool to see big music, big performances. I love Carrie's performance. There were a lot of great ones here. So don't want to spend too much time talking about it. I just wanted to recap with you and tell everybody to check out countrynow.com. And anything else you'd like to add, Lauren, before we go? Any lasting impression you'd like to share?
As far as ACMs, I guess I'll just say that if the website clicks are, you know, telling of anything, Eric Church's performance was definitely the number one moment of the night.
That's what I picked too, yeah. I said the same thing on the show.
That story is popping off. Everyone's clicking it, looking for that performance to rewatch. So, you know, it's kind of interesting when the numbers speak for themselves and you can see that.
Yeah. All right, Lauren, thanks. Good to talk to you. Everybody go check out Lauren, countrynow.com, and you can follow her on Instagram or Twitter. And are they both the same name, at Lauren Jo Black?
That's right.
All right. All right, Lauren, good to talk to you.
Thank you, Bobby.
Bye.
Bye.
Welcome to, do we have an official name for this?
I think it's just still Trivia Against the Musician.
Music Trivia Against a Musician. Adam Hambrick is here.
Hey.
Lost his last match.
Lost. I'm back for redemption.
Up for grabs, $50 in cold hard electronic cash. Now that's not VC for video games.
No.
It's just I send it to them on Venmo.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's not electronic cash. It's real money.
Come but, through electronically.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Today's challenger is on the phone right now. Kara in Kissimmee, Florida. Hey, Kara.
Hi.
Is it Kara? Kara?
It's Kara.
All right. And she's on Twitter if you want to see what she looks like as you play at K_WASIE. K Wasi?
Wazi.
Wazi.
Messed it all up. K Wazi. Kara, say hello to Adam. Adam, say hello to Kara.
Hi, Kara. I need to know something. Are you a ringer? Because last time they brought a ringer in and I got dragged.
I don't know.
Okay, that means probably
that means
not.
Probably so.
Okay. So what's going to happen is I'm going to ask you 5 questions, Kara. You'll see how well you do. I'll ask Adam a different 5 questions, just randomly generated by our music trivia computer software known as Mike D. Mm-hmm. But he doesn't know which 5 I'm going to pick for who. That's what he doesn't know.
All right.
So Kara, you get 5 music questions. Are you ready? Released as a single in 1982, A Country Boy Can't Survive is a song written and recorded by which American country music artist? A Country Boy Can't Survive.
I know the song. I should know this. George Jones?
George Jones. Quality guess, 1982. I think if you're in that little span, he's definitely one of the biggest, but it is not. 1982, A Country Boy Can't Survive is Hank Williams Jr.
Bo Cephas, okay. Man.
And A Country Boy Can't Survive.
Yeah.
A Country Boy Can't Survive.
Hit that note. Hit that note.
What year did Carrie Underwood win American Idol?
Oh, goodness.
All you have to do is get it within one. If you get 1 year off of it, you still win.
She was like season 4. I would have probably been in. I remember watching her win. Let's say 2007.
Incorrect. It's 2005. She may have been season 3.
Yeah, it was really three. Early.
Kelly wins 1. Ruben. Wins 2 over Clay.
Yeah.
Maybe Carrie at 3?
I think she was 3. And then after her, was Daughtry after her?
Daughtry never won. Daughtry was 8th.
Whatever the season he was.
She was season 4.
She was 4. Well, who was 3? Fantasia?
I think she was 5.
Dang, who are we forgetting?
I don't know.
Hold on. Mike's going to tell
us. I'm blanking.
Here. Oh, I thought you Googled all the winners. All right. Mike's looking it up right now as the music plays on.
Oh, 3 was Fantasia.
Okay, so it went Kelly, Ruben, Fantasia, Carrie. Who would have been next though?
I got nothing. I kind of blanked out there until Chris Allen won Idol and set Arkansas on fire.
Which?
Oh, yeah.
Who won? Mike, walk me through a couple of them. Taylor Hicks?
Oh, yeah.
You got Hicks, yep. Was he the next one?
Yep.
I think so.
Yeah, go ahead.
And then you got Jordan Sparks, David Cook, Chris Allen,
okay.
Lee DeWise.
Okay, still remember him so far, but I'm fading.
Scotty McCreery.
Got it. Still in it.
Phillip Phillips.
Oh, I'm starting to fade, though. I'm starting to fade.
Candace Glover.
No idea who that is.
And then Caleb Johnson.
No, I'd never heard of him. Go ahead.
Nick Fradiani.
Do you know who that is?
Who's the guy from the little sweet Dr. Pepper commercials? He was...
No, that's Justin Guarini.
Guarini.
From season one.
And then Trent Harmon.
Oh, yeah.
Trent, because he came to town.
Yep.
Still may be in town.
Yep. He's here.
Yeah.
He's here. He's doing the thing.
But I didn't know him from American Idol.
Who? Matty Poppy.
Then I started working for the show, and I know Maddie.
Lane Hardy.
Yep.
Just Sam.
And Just Sam. Which Just Sam won the quarantine version of it.
Yep.
Which, wonder how that's going to translate.
Oh, man.
You know? I haven't heard much. Okay, let's go to the next question. Question number three. Which hip-hop act famously recorded a cover of Aerosmith's Walk This Way?
Run DMC.
That is correct. 1 point.
Boom.
Question number four. What children's song about aquatic animals was streamed so much in 2019 that it hit the Billboard Hot 100?
Baby Shark.
Do, 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 do. Correct.
Come on.
One more to go. Which city on the West Coast is the home to Sub Pop Records and the birthplace of grunge music?
Oh, my.
Which city on the West Coast is the home of Sub Pop Records and the birthplace of grunge?
Okay. I missed the last part the first time. Seattle.
Seattle is correct. Carrie ended up with 3 points.
Strong. Strong.
Semi-strong. 4 scares him. 5, he knows he's going to lose. 3, he feels like he's in it. He feels like he's got a good shot to at least tie it. Adam Hambrick.
Here we go.
If you win, you get massive self-promotion. Who is the one-hit wonder behind the song Don't Worry, Be Happy?
Oh, Bobby McFerrin.
That is correct.
Can I tell you a funny story about Bobby McFerrin?
I'd love to hear one.
Okay.
I was just asking Mike. I wish we had more funny stories about Bobby McFerrin.
Dude, so my wife has this audiobook from when she was a kid. Her dad got her, and it was like these Rudyard Kipling, the dude who wrote The Jungle Book. You know, he had all these short stories, and it's narrated by Jack Nicholson. And the music behind the short stories that Jack Nicholson's reading is done by Bobby McFerrin. And it's just like all these like African jungle like short stories. And it's got Bobby McFerrin in the background going, ooh, boom, boom, boom. Yeah, it's awesome.
He also did the theme to The Cosby Show.
I didn't know that. Mm-hmm. That's awesome. Yeah, okay. But he's a genius.
Adam, one, I did watch a mini documentary on artists who don't want to play their hits anymore. And he's one of them.
Really?
He's like, I don't want to play Don't Worry, Be Happy. Because it was kind of a novelty song.
Yeah.
And he's a really serious, extremely talented artist.
Yes.
But man, what a jam. And this thing, not only I know all the words to it, was a little before me.
Yeah.
But t-shirts, merch.
Yep.
Just people saying, hey, don't worry, be happy. Like that was a culture moment.
Yeah, that singing Bass.
Oh, yeah. Billy the Bass.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. He's probably still cashing Billy the Bass checks.
All right, Adam, you have 1 point.
Woo.
Question number two for you. What country artist holds the record for most number one songs?
George Strait.
With 60 number ones, the answer is George Strait.
Man, the king. The king.
He's got two. Question number three. Which music legend was actually born with the name Robert Zimmerman?
Oh, man. Rob Zombie.
Incorrect. Man, who's that?
Oh, Bob Dylan.
Bob Dylan.
I'm an idiot.
Yeah, you are an idiot. Yeah. Question number four.
Get nervous.
You need both of these, Adam, to win.
Let's go.
One to tie. John, Joey, and Jordan were members of what boy band? John, Joey, and Jordan were members of what boy band?
New Kids on the Block, final answer.
Correct.
Burn.
We now have a tie.
Tie. It's a tie, Kara.
With one question to go. How do you feel right now, Kara?
I'm a little nervous. I knew a lot more of his questions, I feel like. I feel like that's always the way it is.
That's always the case. That is true. Are you ready, Adam, for the next question?
They prop me up over here is what it is. It's not fair.
This is a music history question.
Okay.
We're going back in time.
Okay.
In Don McLean's American Pie, The Day the Music Died refers to the plane crash that killed Richie Valens, the Big Bopper, and what other pioneer of rock and roll? And bye-bye, Miss American Pie.
That'd be Mr. Buddy Holly.
Buddy Holly is his answer. Buddy Holly is the correct answer, and he's back. He's back again.
It feels good to be back in the winner's circle. Kara, thank you for playing. Thanks for taking it easy on me today. I really needed this.
Thanks for having me.
Kara, anything you'd like to say as we say so long?
This was a lot of fun. I'm really happy I got to do it.
Are you going to get off this phone call and be like, crap, what did she miss? Oh, she missed Country Boy
Can't Survive. Yeah.
I'm mad about that one.
Because I felt like you kind of knew, like you had a direction on that one. You just couldn't quite get there.
Right.
Well, don't beat yourself up, but you did not win $50, but thanks for playing. There she is, Kara, everybody. All right, bye,
Kara.
Thanks, Kara. All right.
Thank you.
And as your prize, you did not win $50, but you now get to do massive self-promotion. And I don't think you've been on since new music has been out.
Yeah.
Do you have his songs?
I do.
Nice.
Massive self-promotion. And cue it, Mike D.
She's my sunshine state of mind.
Yeah.
So this is what?
So this is some new music that we just put out. We just kind of started doing a series of two-song drops, calling them flip sides. And the first flip side came out two weeks ago, and featuring two songs called Sunshine State of Mind and Do the Math. And
this is my favorite right here.
Yeah.
We're playing this on the countdowns of this weekend?
Next weekend?
Dude, well, first off, thank you.
Yeah.
That's amazing. But yeah, it's...
You
it's,
also win that. You win a trip on the national countdown.
Yeah, let's go. And so we put that music out a couple weeks ago, and so far it's been streamed really well. People digging it, and I'm just really fired up to have it out. The project is called Top Down Southbound, a nice little end of summer feel good fun jam. So y'all go check that out. We have a second one coming out next month. So y'all follow along on Instagram and Twitter and all that stuff at Adam Hambrick, and check out the next one when it comes out too.
Why do you turn into a rapper when you're talking about your own songs and self-promotion? Y'all check it.
I'm on Instagram.
Yo, I'm on
Hova. Yeah, that's I have no idea. Isn't that the way you're supposed to do it?
I don't. I'm always like, I know nobody cares, but if you happen to stumble across it or you're bored, have at it.
Yeah.
You wrote both those songs?
Yeah, wrote both those songs.
Is Do the Math, was it written a long time ago?
It was written about... I guess probably 4 years ago, 3-4 years ago now. I just wrote it with some good buddies, David Fanning and Nick Donnelly, and that one kind of sat around. People liked it. It would go on hold every once in a while, and then we kind of like started about talking about like making a record for me and doing the record deal thing, and so we kind of held it, and then now it's finally seeing the light of day, which I'm pumped about.
I was playing it on my phone. We were headed to maybe Seattle to shoot an episode of my Nat Geo show, and it was playing out loud. And Tom Lord, who is my manager, and also runs Red Light.
Also has an incredible, jump shot.
Yeah.
Great.
He was like, hey, who is that? I was like, it's Adam Hambrick. He goes, huh, I've heard of that song before. I think he wrote that a long time ago. And I was like, oh, I don't know. I like it now. But
yeah.
Play some more Do the Math, Mike.
'Cause one drink.
Good one. That's a good one. I like that.
Thanks,
one.
Man.
I like the other one too. That's my favorite one. That's Thanks. The one I was drawn to.
That's the one when we did like we did the YouTube series a couple years ago, Blank Slate Sessions. And it was like right after we met. That was a song. And you're like, hey man, I like that song.
I said that?
Yeah.
Oh, I said that then too?
Yeah.
I'm consistent. One thing consistent. About me, I may not know I'm consistent, but I know what I like, even when I don't know that's what I've liked before.
Yep.
Wow. For the record, when Adam and I have played one-on-one shooting games, he hasn't lost. When we've played group with multiple people with Adam, I haven't lost. So just letting you know.
You know what I think that is? I think it's a focus thing. Because like we play knockout, you got two balls going at the basket all the time. And then you got just like all these people out there. And then I just get ADD and then I forget what's going on.
Adam's one hit me in the face with a ball. Yeah. Right in the nose. Boom. Busting my nose.
I felt really bad about that. My mom texted me immediately after. She's like, Bobby's blood on his Instagram. Was that because of you? I was like, yeah, mom, I'm sorry.
Fully healed up though. And we're playing again Sunday. Mike, you play basketball. You can play with us.
I could try.
Come on. You'd be listen, Ray is okay. He's an athlete.
He's got his moments.
He's an athlete where he does occasionally do something athletic.
Yeah.
But he's wild.
Yeah.
He just sometimes he just grabs the ball and just chunks it up. Like he's under the goal. It's pretty wild. All right, Adam Hambrick, thank you very much.
Hey, thanks for having me.
You're a winner. You saved me $50. And we'll do this again in a few weeks.
All right.
On right now, Luke Laird. One of my favorite songwriters in Nashville. Now he's put out a record of his own music with his own voice, his own singing, which I think is pretty cool. Hey, Luke, how are you, bud?
Good, man. Hey, congrats on the ACM.
Oh, thanks, man. I appreciate that. Also in the room is songwriter Adam Hambrick. So he's just hanging out, too.
Hey, Luke.
He said, I told him we were about to talk to you. He was like, well, I want to stick around and listen. I ain't talked to that guy in forever.
Awesome.
All right, so let's start with this. Why in the world would you put out a music... an album of your own music? What inspired that thought?
I mean, the people were just begging for it. Not true. You know, honestly, it sounds cliche, but I think it just started with the songs. I had a few of these songs that were super personal and just, you know, as a writer, kind of hard to pitch to other people. It was almost just too specific. And actually, my wife, Beth, she encouraged me. She's like, I think you should make an album. And we started that before the whole pandemic, and actually being quarantined kind of gave me the time to go ahead and finish it. So I don't know. It just felt like the right time.
You talk about super personal songs. I played some of this on the morning show, too. But this is track one. It's Music Row, which is... in Nashville, Music Row is where all the work, business gets done. So I'm going to play some of this real quick. That's a very personal song there. It gets more personal as you go, but how long ago did you write Music Row?
I wrote that like at the beginning of this year.
I feel like I saw a picture of you on Instagram where you were going, hey, when I was young, I came randomly to Nashville and like went to a bar. What was your Nashville story the first time you came?
Yeah, so I came with my family on a family vacation like the summer between my sophomore and junior year of high school. And I mean, I was already a huge country music fan, but when I came here and I saw a show at the Bluebird, and it was just the whole trip was like a dream. It just kind of blew my mind, and pretty much from that trip, I knew that I wanted to move here as soon as I could.
Your wife and I are friends on Facebook, and so I see you got the freaking cutest kids, and I haven't seen them ever in human life, but they're growing like weeds on Facebook, so it's wild to see that. But then I saw she had posted that she was proud of the song, That's Why I Don't Drink Anymore. Now, tell me about this song, what led up to it, and why she would be so proud of it.
Sure. Well, so I got sober in 2005, and that was actually the year that Beth and I started dating. And, you know, when you stop drinking, people will be, you know, you go out and stuff, and people are like, why don't you drink? And I don't want to go through, like, the whole story. Well, because I can't stop. And so that song, like, basically, after my second DUI, I did a little jail time. I felt like my life isn't going the way I wanted it to. I had a publishing deal, but I wasn't really taken off as a songwriter, and I just knew I had a lot of changes to make. So I always knew I wanted to write this song. I had the title for probably 4 or 5 years, just sitting in my phone, and I never could find the right way to write it. And one morning I sat down, and the first verse just came out, and I felt like it was the right way to write it. Just be as honest as possible. And I actually played that song one night at the Bluebird, and this girl came up to me afterwards, and she had tears in her eyes, and was just like, that song, I just love that song. It means so much to me. My dad just recently got sober. Is this song available anywhere? And, of course, at that point, it wasn't. And I said, just give me your email. And I went home that night and just recorded, like, a little work tape on my phone and emailed it to her. And that kind of, I think, kind of got the wheels turning, too, as far as releasing some of my own music.
I'm going to play some of that. Here is That's Why I Don't Drink Anymore.
I was on my way to hell, only thinking about myself. That's why I don't drink anymore. The grace of God, by the grace of God, I'm waking up at home instead of passing out in a parking lot.
So record's out today, because this is going to air on Friday, and you just added another one. I was looking at what we had you listed as last time, because Luke came in and we did a whole episode together. It's been probably 2 years or so ago. But
yeah.
At the time, you had, I think, 22 or 23 number ones. Now you have 24. So what was the last number one?
It was Sam Hunt, Hard to Forget.
Oh, come on. I didn't even know what it was. You wrote that? That's a great one. I love that.
Thanks, man.
That makes sense, too. It makes sense you're behind that song, too, with the web peer, with the sampling on it, which you produce all different types of stuff. So wait, so let me, for a second, get off of this project and just ask about that song. You, Sam, who else is in the room writing that song?
I mean, like a million people. So it started off, me, Sam, and Ashley Gourley, we wrote a song to that track I had. And then Sam calls me the next day, and he's like, man, I wrote this other song with Josh Osborne and Shane McAnally, and I think the idea actually fits this track more. Could we all get together and kind of rework the lyrics? And so we did. Of course, I was like, yeah, man. And we got together, and between the five of us, we put it together.
So what track did you have? What did you go into the room with that you're like, that's my track?
Yeah, so I was sitting one morning over there in Green Hills at that restaurant, First Watch, and I had my headphones on, and I was listening through this like old school honky tonk playlist, and that Webb Pierce song, There Stands the Glass, came on, which I've known that song, but for some reason I listened to it and I was like, that'd be kind of fun to make a beat to that. And I literally wasn't thinking, oh, I'm going to play it for an artist and we're going to write a song to it. But I got with Sam a few days later, and we worked on that. You know, he and Ashley and I had been working on another song. He's like, man, do you have any tracks that are like a little different? And I turned around and that song just happened to be pulled up on my computer. I was like, well, I do have this. And I played it for him. And he was like, oh, man, I love that. Let's work to that. So, yeah, that's how it happened.
Man, and here's the thing about that song is it comes, and, you know, with anything that Sam does, you got 80% of people that freaking love it, and I'm one of them. And you got 20% of haters that are being extremely vocal. But then the song hits number one, and it is still researching and testing like crazy right now. Like, I look at the numbers, and it's still one of the top two or three songs.
That's crazy to me.
Man, that is a jam. So let me ask you this on the songwriting part, since you guys combined all of you guys. But then do you have to add in the people who wrote the Webb Pierce song?
Yeah, absolutely. And so we got that sample cleared, and they got like a small percentage of the song. We actually got a better deal than I thought, but yeah, it was for sure they got co-writing credit on it.
That's pretty cool and good for them. Family's making a little money off of it, and I bet you people stream the original. I know I did. I had the original song. I resaved it, and it had been probably 15 years before I'd even heard it. From my grandma had a big collection of stuff, and I'd heard that song through her. It wasn't her favorite, but I'd heard it through her. But it made me go back and actually revisit that song.
Yeah, that song was recorded in 1953.
Crazy. Here it is right now. Turn that up.
That will ease all my pain.
Luke, how long did it take you to make that sample on that track?
Probably like 15 minutes.
Are you kidding me? Jeez.
I mean, it doesn't always happen. Believe me, that sounds like, oh, you know, no big deal. It doesn't usually happen like that.
All right. Luke Laird is on. Follow him on Instagram, at Luke Robert. The album's called Music Row. I'm going to ask you about one more song, Branch on the Tree. Tell me the story about Branch on the Tree before I play it.
Yeah, man. So I actually, one morning, after I read my Bible, this verse came to me about, I was reading about the vine and the branches, and I was like, there could be a song in there. And so I wrote the chorus, and I kept trying to write verses for it. It just wasn't working. So I had a day booked with Lori McKenna and Barry Dean, two incredible songwriters, and they're like, what do you guys want to do? And I was a little reluctant to ask them, but I was like, I know you guys probably would rather write a song for Tim McGraw today, but I have this one song I'm trying to finish for my record, and I can't write the verses. And they, in a matter of like less than an hour, they knew exactly what to do with that song, and so that's how we wrote it.
All right, here is Branch on the Tree. Here you go.
Yeah, I'm thankful to have a little peace of mind on the porch when the sun goes down. Thankful to know I'm building this life on a rock that ain't rolling around. When them valleys show up, I'd be stuck if I thought it was all up to me. So I'm thankful to be a branch on the tree where the roots and the ground found the truth down.
There he is, Grammy-winning Nashville songwriter, producer, collaborator. He crushes songs he writes and produces, and here he is now putting out his own record. And by the way, he's got the best show on Apple Radio as well, which is Country Replay, which is the only show that I like Alicia too, Alicia Davis, but the only show that I'll really make a point to listen to. You do a great job over there.
Oh, man, that's so kind of you. It's such a learning curve for me.
All right, Luke, good luck with the record. Congratulations. I know it's extremely personal, but I'm just a big fan and wanted to make sure that the people listen to me also maybe give this a shot.
I really appreciate the support, Bobby. Thank you so much.
All right, Luke, talk to you soon.
Okay, bye.